This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. So there is going to be a conference call tomorrow, maybe Zoom, maybe just phone, I don't know. It's a call that could, but probably won't, change the price of a barrel of oil. Now, you might be thinking, look, Kai, if the call's not going to change anything, why, oh, why are you telling us about it? Which, fair. But it's why the call between members of OPEC Plus, the oil cartel, which includes Russia, by the way, it's why that call is probably not going to change oil prices that matters. So we've gotten Abhi Rajendran on the phone to help explain. He's the director of oil markets research at Energy Intelligence. Abhi, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the news of tomorrow, as I alluded to up in the introduction there, could you give the layperson an understanding of exactly how much oomph OPEC Plus has in the global oil markets?
Sure. I would say, you know, OPEC Plus is a pretty vital component of the oil market. You know, they account for, you know, over 40% of global oil supplies. So they are very important, but they also have their limitations in terms of how much they can actually do to influence this market.
Well, so let's talk about those limitations here for a second, right? Because, look, the world needs more oil. They could pump more if they wanted to, I suppose, but they're not. What gives?
Sure, yeah. So OPEC Plus, about 6 months ago, set off on this plan to gradually add more supply back to the market. They've basically, you know, lagged that target every single month since they set out on this course, to the point where, you know, in the last month, they are, you know, roughly a million barrels a day behind schedule. Mm. And this is largely a function of, you know, the fact that there's just been so much underinvestment, even within the group over the last couple of years, you know, and the pandemic hit them pretty hard, and they're still struggling to come out of it.
But here we are now in a world where oil has, I mean, it's down a little bit, but it's been as high as $130 a barrel within the last number of weeks. There is that global risk premium. It would seem to make sense if I were a person pulling oil out of the ground to do as much as I possibly could.
You would think so. I think there are a couple of factors at work here. One, what OPEC Plus has in terms of reserves, in terms of spare capacity that they could, you know, realistically bring back to the market, you know, has been vastly overstated. There have been numbers as high as 3, 4, 5 million barrels a day. The real number is probably, you know, at best, you know, around 1.5 to 2 million barrels a day. And it is heavily concentrated in Saudi Arabia and UAE. You know, if they were to do that, it would almost look like they are, you know, kind of opportunistically taking advantage of this and effectively stealing market share. And that's just not something that they're willing to do. You know, they want to keep the group together. And of course, a big part of that group is Russia.
But to that point about not wanting to alienate Russia. So first of all, one could make the case that Russia has alienated itself from the world, right? But the reality is that Russia's going to be in a world of hurt economically for a very long time. And I guess the question is, why do you suppose OPEC Plus is sticking with the Russians at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it's a very important question because this is, you know, right at the core of why OPEC Plus and especially the Saudis and Emiratis will not do much different, is because their political links are still quite strong to Moscow. Mm. The rest of OPEC Plus, they're kind of, you know, more looking at this from, you know, the producer perspective, saying we all kind of need to stick together. It is also, you know, fairly convenient because with high prices, they're generating a ton of revenue, and that suits them just fine. So, yeah. You know, really not a whole lot that, you know, we're looking for in terms of them budging their
supply, right? Which is what the White House has done. So, look, let me ask you this. Crystal ball this thing for me, right? What I hear you saying is no OPEC Plus extra supply of meaningful amount coming anytime soon, which to an observer translates into oil above $100 a barrel for a while. Yes?
I think that's fair. I think OPEC Plus group is going to kind of stay the course and only gradually add supply. You know, and along with that, what we expect is that, you know, even if there were some sort of a ceasefire or an agreement agreed to between the Ukraine and Russia, we don't think the sanctions are going to go away, right? So So definitely an impact on Russian supply that's going to hang around for a while, at least like the next several months, quarters. And as you noted, it could last for years to come. And all of this is a recipe for $100+ oil over the near term, you know, especially kind of over the next couple of months going into, you know, driving season. Right. The question is, how high does it go and how long? And what does that do to demand? We don't expect that much change in U.S. demand. But I think at some point when prices get high enough, you're going to start to see an impact on emerging market demand, certainly on demand in Europe. And that'll be, you know, that'll be kind of your rebalancing factor to bring prices back down.
Yeah. Abhi Rajendran, he's head of oil markets research at Energy Intelligence. Also, he's at Columbia University Center on Global Energy Policy. Abhi, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks for having me.